Shalom Aleichem Chevra. We are in Orchus Yosher from Rechaim Kanievsky, Perik Yud Beis, which is Os Yud, the letter Yud, which is Yiras Shamayim, the topic of having a sense of fear or awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just as a very, very short Hakadama, the term Yiras Shamayim theoretically could mean different things. Yiras ha'oinesh is usually the terminology that's used for fear of punishment. So when we say that a person should have a sense of guilt, responsibility, fear of punishment, that's usually referred to by the term yiras ha'oinesh, oinesh meaning punishment. When we speak about yiras shamayim, that term yiras shamayim, so generally it's used to refer technically to a sense of awe of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and not a sense of fear of punishment. So that's important. Be that as it may, here is what Reb Chaim says. Tanya, we're on the Braisa, Brais Maseches Atzilus, in an unusual Maseches called Atzilus. Eliyahu ben Yosef Pasach. Eliyahu, the son of Yosef, he began his drasha in the following way, Ksiv Soid Hashem Li Reyav, that the secrets of the Kadosh Baruch Hu are given to those who fear him, with Risa Lehendiyah, in his covenant, to those that Lahudiyam, I guess his bris is to inform them of the secrets. Okay, either way, the focus here is on Soid Hashem Li Reyav, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu gives over his secrets to those who fear him. Meha Elifna Sha'ina Kaddish Baruch Hu Magalis Soidav Kim Li Reyav, Shafil Adam Yisrael, Lamed Mikra Mishnah Talmud Ragarva Tesseftis, Vein Bayura, Lachinam Salabamayim Adirim, So I guess a little bit of a scary point here, that this teaches us that a Kaddish Baruch Hu only reveals his secrets to those who fear him, which means that even if a person, Ayid, learns Chumash, he learns Mishnah, he learns Gemara, he learns all the Agadita, he learns all of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and he doesn't have Yira, so if it was all for naught. It was all for naught. The way that it phrases it here is for nothing. He dived into the mighty waters for nothing. And all of the toil, all of the efforts that he put in were wasted, which is a crazy thing to say. No, you have a person who spent his entire life learning, but if he doesn't have Yiras Shamayim, then it's l'chinam. What does it mean, l'chinam? In terms of his schar and olam haba, he gets no schar for it. So what exactly does it mean? So it doesn't explain, but that's the first thing that Reb Chaim quotes. The point is that all of that effort and energy and time and information that he learned is apparently useless and wasted because it didn't involve, it wasn't on the basis, it wasn't learned with Yiras Shamayim. The Gemara in Shabbos, Amar Reish Lakish Ma'idach Siv, Yom Nisdech HaChayisin Yishud Chosma Pachum Adas, Pasuk says, that there'll be emuna of times of itecha, and there's going to be a chesed, a power, a koach, strength of Yeshua's of salvation, chachmas and das. So it lists all of these different things that elements that we'll see in a second are references to something else. But emunas, that when it talks about having emuna, it refers to zeh seder zroim. It refers to learning this seder of Mishnayos called Zeroim. Everyone explains because you have to have a Muna, you plant a seed, and you don't know if anything's going to grow. So that's called Zeroim. Itecha, when there is something called times, Ace means a time. Zeseder Moed, that has to do with the times, which is the Seder Mishnayos called Moed, which has to do with all of the holidays, the Chagim, Shabbos, Chosen. And we say that there is a power, there's a force, there's a strength. Zeseder Noshim, a little bit harder to understand. So he explains over here, because when we get married, we set up families, it gives us the strength to build families for posterity and create a whole heritage. Anyway, that's called the Seder Nashim. Yeshua's salvation is the Seder Nazikin. That refers to the Seder called Nazikin, which is damages, Baba Kama, Baba Basra, Baba Mitzia, Baba Sali. No. Anyway, Chachmas, when we talk about wisdom, is the Seder Kachim. That refers to Karbanis. Everything that has to do with Kachem, with Das, this is Hidataris. So when it comes to knowledge called Das, So that is all the Tumah V'Tahara. Okay, what does that have to do with anything? The point is that this person has involved himself in Emunah, has involved himself in Itecha, in Chosen, in Yeshuas, in Chachmas, in Das. He's involved himself. He's covered Kol HaTorah Kula. But the Pasuk ends by saying, Yiras Hashem, he Oitzaroi. That the Oitzar, the treasure house, the storehouse, is Yiras Hashem. And Rashi explains, Perish Rashi, Hu Ikra Chashav Be'enav, that that's the most important thing. Let's over lastly segula lezikaron, that he should gather together and create some way to remember all of it, and that is through Yiras Shamayim. That if he does, he won't. And according to this, the way Rashi is learning is that the only way that it's going to be maintained in the storehouse is with Yiras Shamayim. There's a famous comment from Rechaim Olezer and Avraham Chaim, where he writes that if you go ahead, and we'll see the mashal soon. We'll see that there's if a person has a lot of grain and he wants to store it in one of those big silos in his storehouse, whatever it may be, if he stores it without a way to preserve it, then it's going to rot and spoil and get wormy and who knows what. And then it'll all be a waste all of his time gathering it and putting it in the storehouse because there's no preservative. So that's how Rechaim V'Lashner understands it. Anyway, take a look. Amar Rava, B'shah Shemachnis and Adam Ladin. At a time, Nachar Me'av Eshem, when a person is brought to judgment in Shamayim, Oymrim Aloy, they say to him, when you did your business dealings, did you do it with Emunah? Which, by the way, does not mean, I do what I want. I trust that Kadosh Baruch Hu will forgive me. It means that a person understands that all of his business endeavors were just mere hishtadlus, and that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is really the one that controls everything. And therefore, as a consequence, there's no reason to cut corners. There's no reason to steal. There's no reason to flatter. There's no reason to even be anxious and nervous and having anxiety about any particular deal. That emunah means that a person deals honestly because he knows that everything is in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam and not in his hands. So he will automatically, with that perspective, have all of his business dealings with a faithfulness to Torah and Halacha. And the second question, did you have fixed set times every single day that you learn Torah? Were you involved in reproducing and populating the world? Which, just as an aside, that's one of the fundamental questions asked to a person, and everyone should know that because of that, birth control is a very significant shaila, and a person should never ever assume that is something that, well, everybody's doing it. So I should as well. That's important. I'll just repeat that one more time for anybody that may have just joined, that one of the main questions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks a person, La'achar me'ava esrim, is after, were you faithful to Torah and Halacha in your business dealings because you knew Hashem exists? Number two, did you have set times every single day for Torah? Number three is, did you involve yourself? Did you try to reproduce? Did you try to were you involved in the mitzvah of Privarivya? Privarivu. So I just pointed out that everybody needs to know that Privarivu is a mitzvah, and technically the mitzvah is chal, applies to the bar mitzvah boy. Just that most bar mitzvah boys aren't ready to get married. That's not really practical in even a psychological way, more so than maybe other reasons. And therefore, we don't get involved in pru urvu until a person is a little bit older. However, that does mean that a person has a chiyuv of pru urvu hanging over their heads. And once they get married, then they have an applicable pru urvu. And therefore, birth control is a shaila that should be asked. It is certainly not pashut. The starting point, the default, is that one should not be involved with any form of birth control. But if for some reason there's some situation, so then a shaila needs to be asked. But it is the default is that, of course, it's usur to be involved in birth control because there's a mitzvah of purvu, and now's your chance. Tzipisli Yeshua, did you anxiously anticipate the arrival of Mashiach and the Yeshua? Pilpalta b'chachma, did you get involved in trying to get smart with Torah? Did you then go ahead and try to understand Torah on a deeper level? And nonetheless, if Yiras Hashem is the storehouse, then all of it is worth something. But if not, then it's not. Again, a pretty dramatic, a dramatic statement. So, first, the mashal you want an analogy for this, a person says to his messenger, his shaliach, Haleli korchit l'aliyah, go take a certain amount of wheat to the upper level. Halach v'halalai. So he did it and he took it over there. Amar loy. So he says to his shaliach, did you put in the preservatives that prevents all of the grain from getting wormy? Amar loy laos. He says, no, he didn't tell me to do that. He just told me to put it in the attic. It wouldn't have better if you hadn't put it there, because now what are we going to do? It's going to get all wormy and it's going to be lost and ruined. Wow. So to hear, if a person doesn't have Yirat Shamayim, which like we said is the preservative, so it would have been better if he hadn't learned. That's like crazy, no? So it's like the crazy thing to say. Okay? That's what Chazal said. In other words, just to have a little bit of a flavor, a little bit of a taste. So, you know, Chazal say, Ama of the Haaretz, why did we lose Eretz Yisrael? Why did the Korban HaBayis happen? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al Azwas Teirasi, Neicha, because they abandoned my Torah. So what does it mean they abandoned my Torah? So this perhaps is a machlekes, but either way, it means to say that they certainly weren't learning with Yirat Shamayim. And there is a little bit of a shaila, if a person learns without Yirat Shamayim, Is there anything that can rescue it at all? And then there's a possibility that this is where we apply Hamorshava Machzir and Lamutov. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Halavi Oisi Oizavu Oseresi Shamaru. Halavai, that they should be Oizav me, that they would abandon me, but just keep learning. So Rabbi Kiva seems to not agree with that. I don't know. It's a good question. But either way, there's no guarantee that the ma'or, that this light of the Torah can bring a person back if he's not learning it to be makayim it, if he's not learning it with Yirat Shamayim. So, the bottom line is that that's a corruption of Torah, and if a person learns Torah and he doesn't want to be makayim it, so it's like, it's not even Torah, it's not even Torah. In which case, it would have been better that he not learned it because it just becomes like a corruption. If a person has Torah but no Yirat Shamayim, it's like a person that's given the keys to, safe. But he doesn't have the key to the bank. Yeah, so here you guy that has a key to the safe because he has all the Torah in it, but he can't get in to get to the safe. But how's he going to get in? Riyani announced, Chavad Lesbe Darta, what a terrible thing it is for a person that has a courtyard. And he decides that he has no chatzer, and decides he's going to make a shar l'chatzer, he's going to make a gateway for the chatzer that he doesn't have. Kach ha-Torah hu shar li yashamayim. This is learns in the exact reverse, that the Torah is a gateway to Yerushamayim. You mean Yerushamayim, but tzarich l'Torah. So if he doesn't have Yerushamayim, then what does the Torah function? So this is fascinating. According to this perspective, it's that the Torah is actually the gateway to Yirat Shamayim, as opposed to saying that Yirat Shamayim is the gateway to Torah, which would seem to be the first way to look at it. Amr Yehuda Leibar Kadosh Baruch Hu Zalama Ela Kidei Shirum Lefanav. Kadosh Baruch Hu only created the world so that the creations would be able to have Yirat in front of Him, or in front of Him. Shneimar Elokim Asa Shirum Lefanav. That Kadosh Baruch Hu made the whole everything that there should be Yirat in front of Him. V'simur V'lazar Haviyasve. V'simur V'lazar. So they were sitting. And passed in front of them, was standing, with passed and walked in front of them. So one of them said to the other, let's stand up for him. Because he is a person that is afraid of chet, afraid of averis. Okay, so I just want to say as an aside here, that if you take a look at Mesilas Yesharim, see, he says there's a difference between Yirat Shamayim and Yiras Chet. Yirat Shamayim is this idea that a person's in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yiras Chet, according to the Mesilas Yesharim, is a very different idea. Yiras Chet means that the person is afraid that he's going to be lacking in any particular mitzvah. So that if a person just has awe of the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's constantly in awe. A person has Yiras Chet, if an opportunity to do a mitzvah comes his way and he misses out on it, he's very upset. Because he's afraid that he's going to be incomplete when he gets to Shemayim to present himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He just wants to be a Shalem. And so he's terrified he's going to miss his opportunity. He's involved in a mitzvah. He's anxious that he's not going to fulfill every single detail of it. So that, according to Masechta Sanhedrin, it's a much more sophisticated and it's a higher level than simply Yiras Shamayim. Be that as it may. So they pass in front of them, a guy that had Yiras Chet. Amar Le'idas, the other one said, I agree with you, but for a different reason. Niku Mikamei, the Gabriel Aryanhu. Let's stand up for him because he's a master Talmud Chacham. Amar Le'i, so the other one responded, Aminu Lachana, the Gabriel Dachil Chatan, I said to you that he has Yiras Chet. You tell me because he's a Talmud Chacham? Perish Rashi explains, you're minimizing his praise by saying he's a Talmud Chacham. You see, that's the idea, that what's more fundamental, what's more important, which one is the means, which one is the end, how does it work, Torah versus Yiras Shamayim? So that's a way to learn this Gemara. This time, the Rabbi Elazar, let's conclude that it was Rabbi Elazar who said that the higher praise is that he has Yiras Chet. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan Rishon Rabbi Elazar, because it was said by Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Rabbi Elazar, same Rabbi Elazar, in La Kadosh Baruch Hu Lama Liyas Shemayim Bilvad. The only thing the Kadosh Baruch Hu has in this world is Yiras Shemayim. Shneimar Ba'atzah Yisrael Masha Kim Lekeva Shom Mimach Kim Yira. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want from you? Yeah, a lot of people say, you know, there's so much going on in Yiddishkeit, so many mitzvahs in Judaism. Like, can you like just summarize it? Like, what's it all about? So, you know, we know there's this idea of learning, you know, Torah on one foot, you know, in Hillel. But this is the pasuk itself saying, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klai Yisrael Ba'atzah Yisrael now, B'nei Yisrael, Ma Hashem Lekeva Shom Mimach. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from you? And he said, Kim Liyira. It actually is a whole list. But the first thing on the list is just to fear him. Ki im. Just to fear a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Igmar, of course, asks, is that such a little thing? Okay, anyway. So, Uksiv, Yom L'Adam, Heini Res Hashem, Hi Chachma. And the Pasuk says that, and he said to mankind, Hein, which is an interesting word. Usually we translate it as Hine, behold. But we'll see that's not the interpretation here in Chazal. Yiras Hashem, Hi Chachma. That wisdom is Yiras Hashem. So just pause for a second. What does it mean that Chachma is Yiras Hashem? You know, imagine a person that's a massive intellectual. He knows so much information, but yeah, he has no Yiras Hashem. I mean, maybe Chas V'Shalom, he doesn't even, you know, believe in Hashem. So what does it mean Yiras Hashem is Chachma? So the MS is that a lot of times you see a lot of corruption in intellectual endeavors because of the lack of Yiras Hashem. You see it all the time. That people are taking back studies that they made, people are retracting things because it was done with an agenda. And if a person's only agenda in life is MS, because a person loves Hashem, so then you're not going to have these issues. But when a person doesn't have Yiras Shamayim, and a person has his own agendas and his own Yitzrei Hara and whatever else, so then the Chachma always gets corrupted. And I don't want to spend too long on this, but I just want to point out, because the MS is that our mind, our brain, is a tool of our ratzon. Think about it for a minute. You know, you encounter a lot of people that say crazy things. They say crazy things because they're angry. They say crazy things because they have a warped sense of something, because they have an agenda and they want something. It means to say that really the mind is a tool. It takes in information. It breaks down information. It examines information. It's a tool. So you'd expect that every tool would work pristinely, like there's no agenda in the mind. But the mind is a tool in the hands of a person's will. So whatever a person wants, he uses his tool called his mind to get it. So if a person wants MS and Inachanami, that tool is going to just analyze things in a pure way. But if a person has an agenda, there's something that he wants, so then the tool goes about getting him what he wants, and it becomes a corruption of the information. And yes, it's very, very precise and true. Yiras Hashem hi Chachma. That Chachma is Yiras Hashem. If there's Chachma without Yiras Hashem, you'll see at some point or another the Chachma will be corrupted. And the drasha of Chazal is that Hain doesn't mean Hinei, behold, but Hain is actually Greek. It's a Greek word and it means one, which means to say, that the one thing a Kadosh Baruch Hu has in the world is Yira. Tistayim. So we'll conclude that was Rabbi Elazar that said it. That the Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, sorry, that who passed in front of them, Rav Yaakov Bar Acha, that the Rav Acha say the higher praise is Yiras Chet. Visham, and also it says over there, Seif Dover Kol Nishma, in the very last pasuk in Koheles, at the end of the day, Lekim Yira, Mitzasav Shemor Kizek Kol HaAdam. But man is all about is fearing Hashem. Mike, he's a kol. Doesn't mean this is all of man. That the whole world was only created for this idea, for to be able to become Yerei Shamayim. Rabbi Bar Kahana Amar, Yerei Shamayim is equal to the entire world. Same reason, that's what it was created for. Shimon Azay Omer, Ba'amri La, Shimon Ben Zayim Omer, whatever it was, Le'nivra Kol Ha'olam Kulay, Ela Letzavis, Le'savis Leza. The whole world was created to be a partner for the person that has Yiras Shamayim. V'yuma'in beiz me'beiz, my didn't say, what does it mean the pasuk when it says, lama zeh mechir b'yad k'sil l'knois chochem l'vayim? What do we have, this k'sil, this fool, who has money, and he's ready to acquire wisdom, but he has no heart? What's that referring to? Oy lehem l'senein shal tamidei chachamim. What is it to the tamidei chachamim that are not on the right path? They're involved in Torah, b'hem Yiras Shamayim, but they don't have any Yiras Shamayim. So they have all this money to spend, but it's in the hands of a fool. Amar lahu, Rava l'Rabbanan. Rava said to Rabbanan, "Matus minayich, I beg you, loy tersun tarte gehenim. Don't be yerish gehenim twice." Perush Rashi. Rashi explains why would they be yerish gehenim twice? This was his musar shmuz, because they would be yagia and amel batera b'lamazet v'leitikaimua. They'll spend all of their time and effort and energy learning Torah in this world, but not to fulfill it. They're just learning it as an intellectual endeavor. There's a Gehenna b'muschem, and then they're going to end up inheriting, so to speak, Gehenna when they die, because they're what did they do? The Torah was wasted, and then they didn't do any mitzvahs. And then the second Gehenna is in this world, because in this world they didn't have a fun life. They didn't live it up in this world. They're so busy being prushim and aesthetics, but without any Yiras Shamayim, and they end up with Gehenna in this world and the Gehenna in the next world too. Ha ha ha! Oh boy. Anyway, I'm Rishon Levi. The famous barley boy. My dipsev is I said Torah shares some Moshe. What does it mean? The pasuk when it says, like we say, right? Vizos the Torah. This is the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu placed in front of Klal Yisrael. Zacha l'mer shamayim l'kayim. That when it says some can be read as a sin or could be read as a samach because it sounds the same. So we're reading it as if it is with a samach, which means a potion. Zacha, if a person merits to learn, but yirah shamayim l'kayim with yirah shamayim to fulfill the Torah, nasis le'sam chayim. So it becomes a potion, an elixir of life for him. But if he doesn't merit that, it becomes a potion of death, becomes poison for him, because the Torah becomes something that kills him. Great is Yira. Shamayim v'aretz is only created in the merit of what will hopefully eventually be produced in the world, which is Yira. There's nothing more precious than a person that has Yira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nishu Asher B'chacham Avendas, a person who is wealthy, he's wise, and he knows how to apply all of his knowledge of the Avendas. Be'ein B'yad Yiras Chayt, but he has no Yiras Chayt in his hands. Again, it changes here the word here, Yiras Chayt. Ein B'yad Eklum, so he has nothing in his hands. Yomru Kol Adam Shiesh Yiras Shamayim Dorav Nishmayim, if a person has Yiras Shamayim, his words will be heard, be able to have an impact. A person should always be sneaky when it comes to his Yira, because it's so fundamental to work on. And it's always changing and dynamic. Everything is in the hands of Shamayim, except for Yira Shamayim, right? Which is a very fundamental principle, which is that Yira Shamayim is all in our hands. All in our hands. The only thing is really in our hands. Whoever his Yira Shait is primary to his wisdom, chachmasim is kayemes, that's a preservative for his chachma, his chachma will be established. Like we said before, similar to what we said before, if there is no yira, then there cannot be real chachma. There's nothing greater in the midos, greater than yira and humility. If a person has fear from me, says Hashem, and he is involved in Divrei Torah, then all of the wisdom and all of the Torah will be in his heart. It's all accessible to him. But Amru Chacham Yorei Chet, if you have a person that's wise and he is a Yorei Chet, Areza Uman, including Nasu Biyadai, so he is a craftsman and the tools of his trade are in his hands because he's a Chacham. So he has access to all of it because he has Yiras Chet, and he has all of the tools because he has the Torah in his hands. So Amru, Amr al-Kashbarah David, Chaim at the boy, David Melech, you want life? Sapil yira, so you should anxiously anticipate having yira. The amru mishena yira shamayim min bala anav v'lei chasidus. If a person doesn't have yira shamayim, he certainly does not have humility. Any humility you see on him is false. V'lei chasidus, and any chasidus he has is also garbage, because he, what's he doing it for? V'nei amru chazal shnei chacham amdu ba'olam ella mi yisrael v'echad musalem. Echad mi yisrael v'echad musalem. There are two great wise people that arose in the world, a Jew and a guy. Achitofel from Yisrael, or Bilam is Olam. Achitofel, the Jew, and Bilam from amongst the Goyim. Yishneim never been Olam, and both of them were lost from the world. Lama? Why? So you saw, Nadnasan min HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ela Chaitvin Oysan Lahem, because their gifts were not from Hashem, but they grabbed them for themselves. What is that supposed to mean? Bekasha, it's very difficult. Ech Esher Lachte Ba'atvin Chachma. How can they grab Chachma for themselves? This is really an unbelievable word. Listen to this. That Hashem is the one that gives the wisdom. So apparently, there's a way to get the Torah. And okay, listen to this. Achitofel was a massive Talmud Chacham. Was great in Torah. Well, Ha'inyan Shekara Yivtichu Chazal, and the way that happened was because Chazal promised us, like Gemara Megillah. You got the loymatzah. See, there's a person claims, I spent all kinds of time and energy and efforts and learning, and I was unable to understand the Torah. Al tamin, you're not allowed to believe it. That means there's a guarantee. It's a guarantee in Torah that if a person really puts in the time, the effort, the energy, so then he will understand it and he will become wise in Torah. But because it's a guarantee, it's a problem. Because that means that a person that doesn't have Yira Shamayim can also do it. He doesn't have Yira Shamayim. So that's referred to as a person, Nikra, he's called Shechatu Achachman Atzman, Lomi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they acquired, they grabbed the wisdom for themselves, and it's not from Hashem. V'chachman Kuzula Tzitzlach, such a wisdom will not be successful. V'adir Rabban Efechazulah Samamavis, it becomes a poison to the person. And that's exactly what happened by Dayeg. And Achi Toifel, Hashem should save us from such things. But I take a look at what it says over there in his sefer on Balak. The Amru, and it says in the Gemara Brachos, Tachlis Chachma Tshuva Ma'isim Toivim. The purpose of wisdom is tshuva and good deeds. Shalaya Adam Kari Rishanu Voyet Bavu Imoy Ravoy Misha Gadol Mimarim Chachma Minyan. So Chas Shalom, a person should never, so to speak, you know, reject or kick at his father, his mother, those who were his physical sources, of a rabbi and his rebbe, who is his spiritual source, his father, and to get them into Olam Haba. If Mishu got Olam Haba, meaning anybody that's greater than him in general, in wisdom or in age. Shenemar Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, because the whole Reishis of wisdom is Yiras Hashem. Story time. One of Rechaim's grandsons came to request a baracha, that his newborn son would grow up to be a Talmud Chacham and a Yirei Shamayim. So this is going to be a little different than the other stories we're going to see in a minute. This story is talking about a baby. Reb Chaim quoted the Brisker Rav, who said that in order for one's son to become a Talmud Chacham, his father should learn Torah with him. And that's to be a Talmud Chacham. And in order for him to be God-fearing, his mother should daven for him. He added he was once asked why there are two references to Yirei Shamayim in the Birkas HaChodesh, yeah? There's two references to Yira Shamayim there. The answers, there are many answers to this question. Reb Chaim suggested when it comes to Yira Shamayim, there's no limit. So you have to keep asking again and again for the next level. Now that's a baby. When someone came to Reb Chaim seeking his blessing for Yira Shamayim for an adult, Reb Chaim told him this is dependent on a person's will. Blessings do not help. Like we said before, the Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Miyira Shamayim. The only thing that's really in our hands is Yira Shamayim. So there's no such thing as a bracha for Yira Shamayim. We have to do it. When another person asked for a bracha for Yira Shamayim, Chaim said that for this, one must learn Musar. It's the same answer. It's just that, well, so how do you do it? So the answer is you have to access those things that enable you to have Yira Shamayim. This is deserving of an entire shir, maybe more than one. Depends, I guess, how long it is. But in order to gain Yira Shamayim, short and sweet, Yira Shamayim is reality. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And that everything really depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We just don't see it that way. So how do you convince yourself? So the answer is, you can't just do things differently. You have to change your perspective. And when you change your perspective, it's automatic. So the avoda, nira shamayim, is to change your perspective. How do you change your perspective? The Chazal say, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shomayim Achim L'Yireh. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want from you to fear? Ma, don't read it as ma, as what, but meyam, 100. Brachas. That a person has to make brachas, 100 brachas a day. What's the idea? The idea is that when a person is constantly associating the Ribbono Shel'Olam to this world, so then he sees the Ribbono Shel'Olam everywhere. That's the idea, to work on seeing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's here. He's always here. It's just that we're not conscious of it. We're ignoring it. We're distracted. So we have to remove the distractions. We have to focus more on it. We have to reinforce it more often. And that's the way that we gain Yirah Shamayim. It's not something that needs to be created. Yirah Shamayim is automatic if you have the right perspective. That's what it means to learn Musar, is to be able to adjust and to change. It's not just about learning information. It's about forcing ourselves to change our perspective. That's what learning Musar means. On another occasion, he answered slightly differently. Rav Chaim said, brachas don't help for that. You have to sit and learn Torah in order to acquire Yirah Shamayim. Brachas are effective for other things, but not for that. Rav Chaim said, they compare the verse at the end of Kohelet, Sof Torah, Kol Nishma, Selikim Yirah, the sum of the matter when all has been considered, that it's all about fearing Hashem. It's like a bunch of zeros, which is equal to nothing. But if you would place a one in front of all those zeros, so you have a very large number indeed. Similarly, all is hevel havalim, vanity of vanities. But if we add fear of heaven, it all becomes worth a great deal. Yirah Shamayim makes all the rest valuable, which relates very well to a number of the stories that we discussed. A yeshiva bachur from Panama. Panama asked which mida he should work on to strengthen in himself Yirah Shamayim. Chaim replied, sorry. Yeshiva bachur from Panama asked which mida he should work on to strengthen himself, comma, period. And Chaim answered, Yirah Shamayim. How, asked the bachur, learn Musar. Which safer? So in this case, Rav Chaim answered them, the Sfarim of the Chafetz Chaim. On another occasion, Rav Chaim was asked what can be done to protect our generation from the damage of the internet and so on. His response, Yirah Shamayim. And how they persisted, does a person acquire Yirah Shamayim? Learn Musar, he said, like the Mesilas Yishar. Someone told Rav Chaim that a girl was suggested to him for a shidduch. Her father, he said, though not a Talmud Chacham, was a Yirah Shamayim. Rav Chaim responded, if the girl has Yirah Shamayim, you have nothing to worry about. Now, forget about the father. If the girl is Yirah Shamayim, you have nothing to worry about. And he repeated that regarding a boy, the primary thing to investigate in regard to a shidduch is whether the young man in question has Yirah Shamayim and is diligent in his Torah study. Rav Chaim was asked about two matches that had been suggested for a girl. One of the young men was a Talmud Chacham, while the other was a greater Talmud Chacham, but less of a Yirah Shamayim. However, you're supposed to know that. Answered Rav Chaim, the bachur with more Yirah Shamayim is preferable. And when Rav Chaim was asked how you are could possibly check the level of Yirah Shamayim in a girl, he said, see how she davenes. Yeah, you hear the word? If you see a person that's davening, they take davening seriously, it's a reflection of Yirah Shamayim, because they know there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Strawberries and grapefruit. For many years, Rebbe and Kanievsky refrained from eating strawberries. She explained, it was not that she disliked them or considered them unhealthy. Rather, years before, there had arisen a halakhic question regarding strawberries, and ever since, she resolved not to eat them. Yirah Shamayim. Rebbetzin related that she had asked the man who delivered citrus fruits each week, you know, a serious God-fearing Jew that she relied on, to bring some grapefruit. He said that he had none at the moment, but would try to get them. Indeed, he did bring her some grapefruit. Suddenly, she wondered if he had brought the fruit directly from the orchard and whether his brother, who owned the orchard, had separated Meiser from it. Until this was clarified, she didn't eat the grapefruit. Now, you and I would have said, what's going on over here? He's a from guy. He brings her fruit all the time. When was this ever an issue? But that's the idea that's behind the story is that for some reason, the Rebbetzin had a concern. You know, she was a very, very spiritually connected person. And for some reason, a concern popped into her head. So she didn't want to eat the grapefruit until she knew for sure. And we would have said, chutzpah, you know, it's like an insult to the guy. Like, he's from, like, why would she do that? Listen to this. A week later, when the man returned, she learned that the miser had indeed not been taken from the fruit. When the man had made the delivery, he had asked a woman who was present to tell the Rebbetzin that miser had not been taken, but she forgot to give her the message. Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable. Wow. Rav Chaim related that when they were young, his sister had once gone to Tel Aviv to buy a part for the washing machine and to run another errand. Unrelated. She told her father she was going, and she had said what she was planning to do and bring home. So her father told her, but you have to say Mir Tashem. I mean, this is what I'm planning to do, Mir Tashem. As things turned out, she managed to take care of her side errand, but the main reason she went completely slipped her mind. She came back without the part for the washing machine. And the point is, that's what it means. Have your Shemai, you never know what's going to happen, right? You never know. A prominent Rosh Yeshiva related, I once gathered my courage and asked around Gaon Reb Chaim Kanievsky, how he was able to offer advice to the thousands who turned to him on whatever topic. Maran opened a Medrash Tehillim with Mizmor Aleph, which states, so it has been handed down to me from my teachers. All advice that is for the sake of heaven will be fulfilled. All advice for the sake of heaven will be fulfilled. Rav Nachshon says, this is stated clearly in the Pasuk, man harbors many thoughts in his heart, but Hashem's plan will stand. That is, a plan that includes the word of Hashem will stand. The illustrious Rosh Shapiro Zatzal used to ask people who brought questions to Chaim Kanievsky, what exactly did Chaim say? What words did he use? Many people remember hearing Rosh Shapiro say such things as, what Chaim decrees below is established above. Rav Moshe would quote the Shita Mekubetzes in Bava Kamma 50a, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way to agree with the ideas of the generations of Tzadikim. This is actually very interesting. But a man came to Rav Chaim with a litany of questions. Are there ways to acquire a taste for the sweetness of Torah, or does that come about only through learning? Answer, there are ways, through davening for it. You have to daven, the Torah should be sweet.
A little bit of sugar.
There seem to be some people who merit that sweetness as a gift from heaven, while others must toil for it. Isn't that so? Answer, it's not true that it's a gift from heaven. It only comes through toiling over it. Question, what kind of things make a person lose his taste in gishmak and learning? Answer, what makes him lose it is a lack of Yirat Shamayim. Question, if a person merits the sweetness of Torah in large measure, why is it still hard to be diligent? Answer, because he's lacking in Yirat Shamayim. Question, in each individual's personal tefillah to acquire a share in Hashem's Torah, should he repeatedly ask for more and more sweetness in learning Torah? Answer, he should repeatedly ask for sweetness in Torah. Question, those who learn also have another question. Is a prolonged lack of sweetness a test from Hashem or a sign that the person's way of learning or lifestyle are not correct? Answer, it's a sign of a lack of Yirat Shamayim. Yeah, you know, that's interesting. The person is not getting a geshmak right now out of his learning, right? So he says, is that because like it's a message from Hashem? Like, what's going on? Reb Chaim said, what do you mean? If you have the proper Yirat Shamayim, you understand it's Hashem's Torah, so it's gonna be sweet. Question. There's a special tefillah for sweetness in learning Torah, Harevnum. Why does the mitzvah of Torah study specifically require a special sweetness beyond that of the other mitzvahs, to the extent that there's even a special tefillah for it? Answer, because the mitzvah Talmud Torah is greater than all the other mitzvahs, with Talmud Torah connected kulam, and the study of Torah is equivalent to all the, therefore, there's a special tefillah. Question, it is said in the name of Chazon Ish that one acquires a taste of sweetness of Torah and its pleasantness only after learning steadily without interruption for 3 or 4 hours. Without that, it is difficult to achieve this spiritual level. Does this refer specifically to a high level in experiencing the sweetness of Torah? Or does it mean that it's difficult to experience even general spiritual sweetness without this? And if so, what should Balabatim do to establish regular times for learning consisting of an hour or two a day? Is it impossible for them to experience the sweetness of Torah? Answer. Balabatim will experience less sweetness. Question. Chazal said, Kiddush 30b, I created the Yetzer Hara, I created Torah as its antidote. Does this refer specifically to Torah that is learned with sweetness? That is, the sweetness is the antidote? Or is the antidote the intrinsic power of the Torah? Nothing to do with its sweetness. Answer, the power of Torah is the antidote without reference to its sweetness. However, for this, one must study Torah for its own sake, Lishma, as the Chida wrote in Pesach Einayim, and it is also the root of Yiras Shamayim. Rebbetzin, okay, so this is a story. I heard it a little differently, but this is the way it's printed here, that Reb Chaim's daughter, Rebbetzin Tzivion, so in her book about her grandfather, the stipler, Reb Chaim's father, her grandfather, about his Yirat Shamayim. From the very start, the Karelitz family, that's the Chazon Ish's family, became aware of my grandfather's enormous Yirat Shamayim. After the Shidduch was suggested, a meeting was arranged between my grandfather and my grandmother, right, the stipler and his future wife. When she arrived at the meeting place, she was astonished that the bachur who had arrived earlier had fallen asleep. Later, the reason became clear. The stipler was accustomed, right, the way the stipler used to learn. He would learn until he became physically exhausted. He would pass out and sleep for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours until he would wake up, and then he would push himself to learn, couldn't physically do it anymore. That was not a normal thing to do, and I don't recommend it, but that is what the stipler used to do, and that's how he became the stipler. Before setting out for his shidduch date with my grandmother, so that's what he had done. He knew he was going to take the train, and he knew he was going to sleep on the train. It was a long trip, so why should he waste his time? So he learned, and figured he would sleep on the train. When he got to the train, he found out that the seats were upholstered, and he was afraid that that was an issur of shatnes to sit on them, so he stood the entire way, you know, doing chazar and whatever, but you know, obviously getting more and more tired because he hadn't slept in days. He waited in the, okay, so this is the way that it printed here. The way I heard this story was that, so when he got to the day and they started talking or whatever, he just like fell asleep. The way it's printed here is he waited in the appointed meeting place for the girl who was supposed to be accompanied by her brother, Reb Meir. However, they were late. Since he was totally exhausted, he decided to take a nap. And according to this version of the story, he even said Kriya Shema and Hamapil, and was then informed that the girl had arrived. So what did he do? In order for Hamapil not to have been a Brach Levatala, he gestured to them, indicating he has to sleep a bit. So anyway, the story goes that she's like, she was mad. She was upset. This is the guy you set me up with, a big Yerei Shemayim, who falls asleep on dates. And so the Chazanish was beside himself. I don't know, he's supposed to be strict Yerei Shemayim. What happened? And we found out the story that it was because he didn't want to, you know, sit down on the seats. He was such a Yerei Shemayim. So, anyway, they got married. My grandmother said that at that meeting, or one of the meetings, at one of their dates, so the stipler spoke about the beatings he had suffered when he served in the Russian army because he refused to be Mechallel Shabbos, and so they would beat him. He said that he had derived great spiritual pleasure from those beatings and wanted to see whether she understood the meaning of such pleasure and was capable of experiencing it. Anyway, the final story for today, Reb Chaim spoke regarding a pasuk in the Haftarah Shabbos HaGadol coming up soon-ish, which states, "You have said it is useless to serve Hashem. What gain is there for us that we have kept his watch and that we walk submissively before Hashem, master of legions?" The words, "ma betza," what gain is there for us, do not indicate that they were heretics. In reality, they were upright Jews who simply believed that while those who serve Hashem will benefit in the next world, there's no benefit in this world. They did not see the benefit to those who serve Hashem. That's what they were saying. Actually, it only seems that way on the surface. The truth is, if a person is interested, he can see a special divine favor to his servants, even in this world. Reb Chaim discussed these matters several more times and said, for example, I had a gemach, which is an interest-free loan fund in this case, in the kollel, using money that people deposited with me to loan out. One day, a younger man came to borrow $750. Okay, I don't know if it was American money or not, whatever. The next day, the depositor came and asked for his money back. He needed his money that was in the gemach. You know, so he came to withdraw his money. I couldn't ask, but Baruch Hashem didn't have the money. He had given it away as a loan. I couldn't ask the borrower for the sum. He was destitute. I didn't know what to do. Suddenly, along came Rav Tovia Shachter and gave the gemach $750. So I was able to pay back the guy that needed to withdraw his money. Yep. Kaddish Baruch Hu runs the world. Have a great day.